Everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening, well, actually, I guess I don't even need to say that because I'm not even broadcasting through 1-2 Radio today. Unfortunately, I couldn't get signed in, so we're just live streaming today. So if you're here in the live stream, or if you're in the live stream later today or tomorrow or anytime, I want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that I do have my eye on the chat room, so you are more than welcome to comment here in the Facebook or the YouTube chat, and I'll see every bit of it. So I'm happy to have you. Oh gosh, how's it going? I have so much to share with you guys today, and a fun topic, I think, in my opinion. I'm going to show you a glass project that did work out. Because, you know, I've had a few losers lately. But occasionally we win. So I have some glass fun to share with you and some other stuff too. First of all, I have a picture to show you. This is Fiona in her pool. Apparently, Scott was out there with her. She, wanted to get in her pool, but there was a whole bunch of chickens around it, so she ran the chickens off and got in her pool, and then immediately all these jerks were right back there hanging around, giving her problems. The girl said this was just like a piggy spa day. They were just helping out. Maybe they work there. I said, yeah, perhaps. Maybe this was pet therapy, right? Yeah, we have a lot of chickens. We hatched, well, way too many chickens, so a lot of them are going to be getting rehomed. But we're having so much fun with them, though. They're so cute and funny, but yeah, poor Fee. There's just no peace to be had. Okay, but I want to show you a glass project from last week that went beautifully for once. Not for once. Things usually work out. I'm just still really salty about those fails, but it's okay. Life goes on. So this was a set of candle holders that I was making. Well, not necessarily a set, but I was making candle holders for a bridal shower. I had a bridal shower in Boise over the weekend with the kids for one of their dear friends. He's getting married, and my girls have made good friends with the bride. In fact, all three of them are in the wedding party again. Can we take this? My God. We're weddinged out. We still have two to go this year. Anyway, but I've been to these people's house, these kids' house, and it's very eclectic, and they have a really different style. So I really wanted to make something for her that you couldn't really get, you'd never find somewhere else, right? Like, they're really good on having bespoke stuff, different stuff. So that was the goal. So I cut a bunch of strips of glass and a big circle, and then I laid it out with a bunch of tiny circles of colored glass, and then a bunch of strips, and put those all in the kiln and fused them together, so that heats up to about 1375, and then when that came out, I balanced them on specially treated cocktail shakers. You can see the side picture there, what they look like. And then heated them again to a little less heat. This was in the 1200 range, so that they would just slump down and form over the cocktail shaker. So that's how the second kiln turned out. This is how they looked in the sun. Oh, I have a video. I forgot. But then I decided that as much as I like this, I kind of wanted something that would tie them all together. Or tie it together in a give it a little bit more personality. So I decided to, after I added the candle, that I also wanted to add some copper wire and bead accents. So then, it's kind of hard to see in this picture, but I added that. So there's two rows of copper wires with beads on them. Anyway, it turned out really cute. I was really proud of them. I ended up giving her one. I decided once I had them all wrapped and put together that one was a whole gift, so that's what I did. So, and I kept the other one, and I don't know if I'll sell it or keep it completely. I really like how it turned out. The other one, I'm showing it. Some of my tines got a little long on top, so they actually touched the kiln floor. So they bent a little bit, which I just think is really cool. I couldn't do this again if I tried. Not quite exactly like that. It really turned out with its complete own personality. So I don't know. I think I may wrap this one, or maybe I won't and just keep it. But I really like the way it turned out. So anyhow, a little bit of glass fun. It's fun when things work. When they don't, I get really pouty and want to throw things against the wall. I don't, because then I'd have to clean it up. That would suck. But I like the way these turned out. I think if I were to do them again, I'd do different colors. I think red and black would be really pretty. That's what I was going to do initially, but I didn't have any black that was like smoky or that was clear. It was all solid, and I wasn't sure if I liked that. So I didn't do that. But I still think that would be really pretty. I also think that I would make them less tall and add maybe four, I think, four more tines so that they come together tighter. I don't know. Something like that. I'll probably try again because I really like the way these turned out. Fun ways to manipulate glass. But anyway. Purple, blue, green, aqua. Yeah, you could do some really pretty things. You could also just do one color, and not variate. Just do one color that's all of the dots. You could also do your bottom color a solid color if you really wanted to. It doesn't really matter. But I mean, the clear is fine, but. And cutting circles is not, out of glass is not for the weak of heart. Chakra colors is a great idea. I have a circle cutter that helps, but cutting circles out of glass definitely has a learning curve. Oh, no kidding. Honey spoons on the bendy ends? That's a cool idea. I wonder how you could do that. Well, you could do it with a little mold without doing it this way, but you're right. They do look like honey spoons. All you'd have to do is come up with some kind of a little hump mold and just make straight spoons and then lay them over that mold and fuse them. And you could do that simply. Yeah, that's a good idea. I've made stirrers before, but I've never made spoons. Which is funny because we were in Boise this weekend at a car show and Scott picked up a couple of spoons for me, some pottery spoons that he thought I might think were cool and would want to try, but they were pottery and so not glass, but they had mushrooms on the ends of them. So the spoon part was a literal bowl, but the ends of them have some kind of a cute little mushroom on them. They were adorable. I probably will try to make something like that. Not exactly the same, of course, but similar. Yeah. Anyway, so that's all. Just fun with glass and sometimes winning. Yeah, I'll see what I can do with the chakra color ones. That's a really good idea. You'd have a lot less clear glass, right? And a lot more color, but that's fine. I like it. Because also, if you did your dots closer together, right? Then they would kind of fade into each other, which could be really cool as well. Because the only reason these got long is because they were in the kiln, right? So they would just stretch into each other. And I like it. All right, we're doing it. That's it. All righty. We did have a fun weekend. We went to Boise for Father's Day and to celebrate my birthday with the kids. And oh gosh, we went to a really interesting Greek restaurant. That was fun. That was on my list. I like Greek food. We don't have any Greek food around here. But we went to a Greek restaurant that we liked. We went to a night market that was really fun. It was way out in the country on these people's farm where they host all kinds of events. Like they do a huge pumpkin patch and stuff like that in the fall, and they host concerts. And so they've started hosting this night market a couple of nights a week that is, it's nearly all food vendors. There was a tiny bit of shopping. I would have loved more shopping, but that's okay. Mostly food vendors, but we ate food from like five different countries and just sat at a table and visited and laughed and had fun for a long time. Another couple that needed somewhere to sit just came and sat with us, and we visited with them for a while, and it was a beautiful night. It was perfect. And then, of course, on Sunday, we did go to the car show, which was really fun. These were things that I did in my chair, and it's really pretty cool, you know, because as you know, getting in the power chair was a hard decision, and I still only use it for certain things, you know. If I'm just too exhausted to go into a store, but I try to, like grocery shopping and stuff like that, do it on my own feet. We go on walks, and I walk as much as I can, and then just ride in the chair when I need a rest, and that works out really well. And then for big stuff like this, where it would either be not go or go in the chair because there'd be no possible way I could walk it, we have taken the chair, and wow, has this opened up some possibilities for me, for us, really. And so yeah, the car show was great. It was really fun. It was definitely way more walking than I would have been able to do otherwise. But we had a great time. It was really nice. Saw a lot of cool cars and had fun. And this is what Micah really wanted to do with Scott for Father's Day. He's been trying to get us down there for this for a few years now, and something's always, you know, already scheduled and in the way, but by God, this year we made it happen. Thanks, you guys, for the birthday wishes. Yeah, tomorrow is my birthday. I'm getting a bird bath. You know I'm a bird brain, right? And earlier this year, a little black-winged or red-winged blackbird drowned in my front yard in a pot that was just full of water that was waiting for tomatoes to be planted in it. And I felt so bad about it. I was like, why don't, I mean, I have my two big feeders out front where I feed a lot of the neighborhood birds, including the crows and maggies, but a lot of other things too. Why don't I have a bird bath? I would have a blast watching them, but also then maybe they wouldn't drown in a bucket in my yard and break my heart. So that's what I asked for my birthday. But we haven't bought anything yet. We've just been looking and thinking about what we would want. But it's pretty exciting. I'll bet your jays need it. Your jays are, Liliana is demanding, I think, as my magpies. Oh. Sometimes I'll wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I can hear out my bedroom window either the magpies or the crows out there just bitching. It's hard to understand exactly how demanding these birds are until you've lived it. While we were gone this weekend, my nephew was feeding the pigs, and I'd left him instructions on how to feed the crows, and he thought that was the most hilarious thing in the whole world. He did it. He blew the feed or the crow caw. He thought it was hilarious. I'm sure he was telling his friends. He probably Snapchatted the whole thing and was like, yeah, my aunt is crazy. Look what she's making me do. It's fine, Jack. It's fine. I'll be crazy. Well, let's move on to Luminous and we'll talk about our theme. I am going to make a glass bird bath. They're just not very big. I want something bigger that, that can have like a the solar fountains in them, you know, like with the sprayer thing. But I have a mold that I think's big enough that I could make a big for me, but it would still be small for the birds. But I still want to make that. I do have the stuff to do it. Yeah. Speaking of copper, oh my gosh. Are you guys familiar with precious metal clays? Called precious metal clay or PMC. So I've been doing an experiment, and okay, we'll pull aluminous for right now. So you can put copper inside glass. It's the only metal that you can fuse inside glass. So like this. You can't see that super well. But the copper itself will either, depending on the quality of it, it'll turn red or green or black. Or sometimes if you're really lucky, it'll turn blue. But you can see the red fishes in here. Those are copper. So I was thinking about that and about how you can put copper inside glass without breaking your glass because it has a similar coefficiency. So then I was wondering if you can put copper in glass, can you make pieces out of precious metal clay that then could be fused inside glass? So I did a little bit of research and discovered that other people are doing that. So then I had to try it because it opens up the door for being able to make like charms and pieces that you might not be able to make out of glass to fuse inside glass pieces. So, are you still with me? Okay. So I ordered some copper PMC and it came. So we've been playing with it a little bit. Oh my God, you guys, this stuff is magic. It's really cool. So basically, what it is copper particulates or copper dust that's mixed into a binder that turns it into a little clay. And then you can sculpt that however you choose and fire it. And you literally get, as the binder burns off, you get pieces of copper. You can buy precious metal clay in brass or copper or silver or gold, if you're rich as hell. The gold and silver are so expensive. I would never even consider them because, well, partly just because of my own skill level, obviously, but also it's just too expensive. But anyway, I digress because what I really wanted was copper anyway. You can also flame paint them, which is even more amazing. So anyway, my PMC came last week and I made a bunch of little tiny flowers and we tried torching them first. Some you can burn off the binder and sinter them with a torch, or you can put them in a kiln. So we've tried it both ways. The kiln turned out to be much easier, and I think we got a better sinter on them. But I needed a little rock tumbler to really you tumble them in jeweler's shot, which is stainless steel, little teeny like rods and balls and little disc shaped things to like clean them up, polish them, all those things. So I'm waiting for that to come. But anyway, that is the coolest stuff in the world. So I just put mine in a little tiny mold and made little tiny flowers. And I'm in heaven. This is just the funnest thing. So hopefully, like next week, maybe I'll have something to show you with some copper pieces fused into glass. But we'll find out. My nerd brain is running all kinds of scenarios. 'Cause here's the other thing. I have this cool enamel paint that is for glass fusing. So here's my question. If I could fuse this into glass and it turns red or green, I need to fuse some of this stuff into glass and see what color it turns. And I wanted a different color. Could I paint it with the glass enamel and then fuse it into glass and would it retain the colors that I want? To the laboratory, right? I don't know the answer to any of it. I'm just gonna have to play with it and see and learn if what my limitations are here, if any. I'm kind of starting to think maybe there really aren't any, and I should be able to do whatever I want with it. I'll keep you posted. I know, like it's that pressing. That's what it's like in this brain. Okay. Well, let's get going with Luminous. So, my article this week and the edition is called If You Want to Write Edition. There's something about the summer solstice that makes me want to write. I think, well, I was thinking back to an experience when I was in junior high. When I was in junior high, my mom found a writing class at a local college, what was a community college then, and she wanted to put my sister and I into it. It put Christy and I into it, and we were too young, but she talked to the professor and got permission to enroll us in this class. So it really was just like community ed, but you still had to be a certain age. But anyway, so she got special permission for us to go into this class, but there was a real conversation about whether or not we were old enough, if we would get anything out of this class, because it was for older people and like probably higher level of writers than we were. And it was so intimidating to walk in there first day and feel like we were babies in this class of adults that were already probably, more skilled at writing than we were. And I remember how hard I worked that summer to churn out decent things because I didn't want to be an annoying little kid in a class of adults. And at the time, I really didn't want to take the class very bad. It meant way more to her than it did to me. But now I know that it was definitely worthwhile and something that was, worth signing us up for and getting us into. I've always wondered why my mom didn't take the class. I'm guessing it was cost, that she could afford to put two of us in the class. But when I think about it, I'm like, the woman wanted to write. It's all she wanted to do. And yet she paid for us to go take this writing class because she knew it would be good for us. And we were both pretty decent writers as was. And she wanted to keep drilling down on that, but she should have taken it too. Things you don't think about when you're in junior high, right? Anyway, but maybe that's why summer solstice always makes me feel like I want to write, but it does. So here we are. So I wondered if that's true for more than just me. Do you have a desire to write more in the summer? More creative vibes? I think the turns of the solstices too just churn up a lot of creative vibes in me, because the winter solstice does something similar. Okay, let's talk about it. If you want to write. Was talking to a friend recently who had said she'd always wanted to write a book. She's not writing one, but she'd like to. But she just doesn't have anywhere to start, doesn't know what to do. And it just got me thinking about how I think there's stories in all of us. I think there's books in all of us that just have never been birthed. It also made me think about my dear friend Lynn. Lynn passed away a few years ago, and I wondered what happened to her totes of manuscripts because Lynn was an author. And Lynn wrote and she wrote and she wrote and she wrote. She wrote to the degree that her husband built her an entire studio off of their house that was for writing. And she had totes and totes and totes of manuscripts that she had never done anything with. Her husband begged her to try, or to self-publish, or to set up a website, do it herself, do something. But she was so worried about whether or not people would like her stuff, about whether or not she was really good enough. She came from a very conservative religious family, and a lot of what she was writing was romance and maybe even smut. Besides, not all, but some of that. She even had a book that she was worried about what people would think. She did finally put a few things out. She started writing for, after years of working with her and encouraging her, she started working on a website that was publishing some of her books, and then unfortunately she passed away. But I thought a lot about all of those totes of books, those manuscripts, and I hope they exist somewhere. I hope her children honor her work. I hope something good happens with them. But I think it's just a good example of how often we're a little afraid of our own voice, and also in writing, what an emotional experience it is to birth a book or a song or a poem or anything that you do or don't intend to share with the world. It is a bearing of yourself. If it feels like you're getting naked on stage, you are, in a certain sense. It is. You have to find a way to be comfortable with that if you're going to do something more than just write for yourself. However, I think the best writing probably is the writing that's done for yourself, and then you can choose to share that with others or not. But if you write with the worry, like Lynn did, of what people will think of you, you're definitely going to limit what you can do, what you can accomplish. I think you'll limit your spirit, you limit your intuition, and anything that's moving through you that wants to be put on paper. It's a hard battle. Tara said, I often hear about songwriters' workshops on or around the solstice. Oh, interesting. I see it. I can see it. Yes. You know that everyone has stories. Some that they tell, some that they don't. Some that people don't even realize are interesting or meaningful or impactful until much later in their lives, or that maybe never do. But the truth is, we are nosy bitches. We like hearing about everybody's lives. We like hearing everybody's experiences. We do kind of like hearing about each other's traumas too. But also the wins and the funny stories. It's human nature to want to connect with each other's stories. Tara said, I got to use my voice last week. I think I need more practice. I was given a leadership role with our tent crew. Oh, cool. Good for you. Lillianne says, cheers to Lynn. May her works be published by her children. I really hope so. She had a book. She actually got her heart stomped out by Hay House, sadly. You probably already know this, but back in the day, Hay House was really a force to be reckoned with in the New Age world, and they did a lot of really good things. And then they became too commercial, too greedy, unfortunately. And if you still love Hay House, don't let me offend you, but things changed with Hay House. I think a lot of people recognize that. So they were holding these writers' workshops, and all the writers were, especially in the New Age realm, were just dying to go to these workshops, right? Because part of the deal was you go to the workshop and you get to submit your manuscript, and then some of our authors will evaluate them and give you feedback and help you out. So basically, you could go to certain levels of their conferences. So you'd go to the first one, there were all these people there, and then you could come to the advanced writers workshop, and it was a little more money, and then you could go to the really advanced one that you were specially invited to. And you had a real chance there, or so they told you, of having your manuscript accepted as for a Hay House book, right? But you could become one of their authors. So Lynn had gone to all of their writers' workshops. She worked her way up the ranks of the ones they were doing at that time. This has been easily 10 years ago, but up the ranks of it, and she kept getting really good feedback and really good feedback. And by the end of them, they let her know that the CEO at that time, Reed, he wanted to talk to her and talk to her about a book deal. And it was like all of her hopes and dreams were coming true. It was the final validation that she needed that she was good enough. And she had a beautiful book, a beautiful book. She'd actually traveled around the world with her husband and his job and had a list of questions she was asking women from all different walks of life, all different countries. Same list of questions. And then hearing these women's stories, and then she had compiled it all into a book about women's intuition and women's heart and women's spirituality. And it was a beautiful, beautiful book. And so she continued to refine it throughout her process. She had done many, many things to build this platform, hoping that she'd get something. One of the things Hay House said that they would never pick you up as an author unless you already had a commitment on those books, that you knew you could start selling them. She did that. She actually had a publisher that had, or not a publisher, a distributor that had committed to 10,000 copies. She had a website. She had a following. She had really done the things, and it had taken her very, very far out of her comfort zone to do it. But plus, at that time, she was finally publishing some of her other books under her pen name, so she was really growing in confidence. So she gets the call that Reed wants to meet with her. He wants to talk to her about maybe publishing her book. And she was so excited. So they sit her down and they let her know that they'd like her to self-publish her book through Balboa. It was only going to cost her $5,000. Lynn had already spent thousands and thousands of dollars going to all these conferences. You guys, if that does, if you don't understand what a slap in the face that was, anyone can publish through Balboa. At that time, anyone could publish through Balboa. I don't know what Balboa is about now. I haven't looked at it in years. But literally, anyone could bring a book to Balboa and they would publish it. It didn't make her book special or interesting or anything. And she was heartbroken. And she told them no, and that she wasn't going to go that route, and that maybe she'd start seeking out other publishers. So it wasn't very long that they called her back and they said, "Hey, if you don't want to go with Balboa, I think we should, we could refigure this. We could restructure this. Yeah, right? Because Balboa is just your self-publishing arm." Yeah, okay. So they were going to redo their plan. And they offered her $5,000 for her book, $2,500 on the onset, and $2,500 when it publishes, plus royalties. She didn't do it. She felt like it wasn't enough money, for one. And she felt like after everything they had already done, all the carrots they had dangled, the slap in the face of offering Balboa, she left him. She decided that Hay House was scamming her and that everything they were doing there was just a bunch of bullshit. And so, yeah, it really soured my opinion of Hay House when they pulled that on Lynn. Because that woman could write. Anyway, I don't think. I really hate this piece because, as far as I could tell, that book never got published. And I really wish it had. I wonder where it is now. I had read, she'd sent me some excerpts of it, but I don't think it ever got published. So that's really sad, but yeah. Yep, it sucks. You could pay $5,000 or $6,000 to Balboa to publish a book, or you could go over to Amazon, to KDP and publish it yourself and not spend any of that. Like, there was no benefit to publishing through Balboa, none. Because Hay House was saying that if you publish self-publish through Balboa and they really like your book and people really start buying it, that they might pick you up, right? It's just bullshit. It was bullshit. It was just a way to get people's hopes up, I think. But anyway, I wasn't going to tell you that story today, but it came out, so I guess it was supposed to be here. So I guess this is for you, Lynn. You didn't deserve that. And I really wish all of your writings had made it out into the public. Okay. That does open up an interesting conversation, though, about self-publishing. When self-publishing first started, there was a real attitude about it. Like, the only people that self-publish are the ones that can't get a publisher, right? They can't hack it. They're not good enough. But now, a lot of people self-publish because they don't really want a publisher. Telling them what to do. How many times have you read an author's first work, or, and I've said this about decks forever, Oracle decks and tarot decks, that it's their best one? Why do you think that is? I think it's because they get a publisher who then starts changing their work, right? Maybe the very first one, they take it at face value. I'm sure they change some things, but for the most part, that is your body of work, that's what you put out, that's what your intuition ran through you. And then they go, okay, we want a book too, and we want it about maybe it's a topic that you're not even familiar with, or a state that you've never been to. Like, you'd be surprised how much publishers will tell you what they want you to do, and then you're supposed to conform yourself into what they want. And yeah, that happened with a lot of the people that were producing Oracle decks. Okay, now we want one about archangels, even though you're not an angel person or whatever, but you know, that's what happens, and you know, book publishers are the same way. Or editors that really want to take you in a different direction from where you intended a story to go, and so on and so forth, right? Or worse, want you to sell fiction as nonfiction, which is what Hay House and James Twyman did with his book, The Barn Dance. We did a reading event with James after that book was published. We did a reading event through Healing Hands when we still had Healing Hands. And so we all read the book, and then we did a kind of like a Skype with James where he answered questions and spoke about the book and whatnot. And even though that book was supposed to be everything that is in that book really happened, and that's the foreword swore that at the very beginning, he told us, I want you to know that everything in this book happened. It is all true. Okay, super cool. We had a huge room of people. We had our whole ballroom full of people that were so excited to meet with him that had all read the book. Lots of questions. And pretty soon his story started to unravel. And by the end, I think it was actually my mom that pinned him down on it and said, okay, but you said everything in this book is true. And now what you're saying, he's like, wow, I mean, the publisher does, they ask for a few embellishments here and there just to make the story more interesting. It wasn't all true. Not even close. The barn dance. The barn dance. But yeah, which is fine, but don't say it is. But anyway, that's just another example of publishers will make you change your work, and they will ask you to misrepresent yourself. It just happens. It's just a part of the publishing world. So self-publishing, as it took hold, like I said, again, in the beginning, it was really kind of a mockery. You're just going to self-publish if you can't get a publisher, which was true to some degree. And for some people, it was simply, I don't want a self-pub or I don't want a publisher telling me what to do. Now that we are like 15 years into self-publishing, or maybe more, now people self-publish all the time because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. Because they're carrying their own career. Are they making a ton of money? Probably not. But here's a spoiler alert. Most people that write for a publisher also are not making a ton of money. Writing is not that lucrative unless lightning really hits you in the right place, right? Unless you somehow become J.K. Rowling or Stephen King, right? Liliana is friends with Stephen King. She brings him, she bakes him so scones and used to give bacon to his dog, but I think she had to stop. And he gives her books. And it's beautiful. But yes, it's a tough world. Don't write because you want to get rich. Don't write because you want to have millions of followers. Write because you love to write and because you love to have stories flowing out of you. You'll be so much happier. And then set goals and put your stuff out there. I'm not saying don't, but if you come into a writing career with those kinds of aspirations and those aspirations only, you're going to struggle. But I also think it just gets right in the way of the creative process as well. That's my personal opinion. It is my opinion that writing is a very spiritual act. When you consider the energy body and writing, you have a connection between the sacral chakra, where your creativity lies, and the throat. That's where all of the communication in your life comes from. And your third eye, where your intuition is guiding the whole process. And I think the best writing happens when all three of those chakras are firing on all cylinders and well connected, and the information is just flowing. So, a lot of people that have a draw to write don't know if they have anything worth writing about. I've heard this from people so often that they don't think that anything they do is all that interesting. People that don't really think that what they have to say that anyone else wants to hear, things like that. But the truth is, we do. Like I said, we're nosy bitches. We like hearing about other people's lives. We like hearing about other people's struggles. We like hearing about other people's accomplishments as well. There's nothing too small to write about. I think that's something important to understand. I think this is a really good point that sometimes we overlook the value of our own experiences because we've lived with them for so long, right? Maybe the way your grandparents meant is actually really interesting and fun, but it's not that interesting to you because you've heard the story 44 times, right? Maybe the big challenge you overcame 10 years ago is not that interesting to you because you're done with it, but somebody else might get a lot from it. Jane said, maybe we don't want our old stalkers to find us. Lillian said, there you go. My throat chakra is always blocked. I try to write, but I can't. It could easily be in your throat, my friend. Yeah. But that can be changed. That can be moved. Anyway, just remembering that just because it's ordinary for you doesn't mean it's ordinary for someone else who hasn't lived that experience. Then you really have to determine sometimes, what do you want to write? You want to write a novel? You want to write a memoir? You want to write an autobiography? You want to write a biography of someone that you know who's had a fascinating life? Do you just want to write blog posts or one-liners for greeting cards? It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. This is for you. And don't overlook journaling. Journaling is a form of writing. It's a way to practice. It's a way to practice allowing yourself to express yourself without worry of repercussion. Writing in journals, I think, is a great precursor to writing more. When I was a kid, I was raised in the Mormon church, and journaling was really encouraged in the church, really encouraged. encouraged and stressed. It was something that you heard about in church meetings a lot. I can remember in young women's activities making journals and journal pages and talking about our journals. Journaling was kind of a big deal. When my mom died, she had shelves of journals, some of which she had filled up, a lot of which had been written in like 10 times, and then she moved to a different journal. I think she just liked pretty journals, you know? But journaling to me isn't an odd topic because I was really raised with that. I don't journal very often, but I do show up here every week and write things. And so it's a little different, but it's not exactly the same, but it is a form of journaling for me. I think that's a super good point, Tara. She said, sometimes I need to remember that some people are just starting their spiritual journey and don't know things that I think are obvious 30 plus years in. Yeah. Jane said, I journal when I'm responding to texts I know I can't slash shouldn't send. Oh, that is so funny. Lillian said, I would love to read your biography, the sisters, the church, your journey. Thank you. Maybe I should write my journey someday. It's a thought. The stuff about the church is always kind of fun because, as someone who was raised in the Mormon church and, left when my kids were babies, but I still live in a town that is 98% LDS or Mormon, I forget sometimes how different some of their beliefs are and their practices are and stuff that people don't really understand. And when you share those, I get kind of jaw-dropping. Then I yet again go, oh yeah, this stuff is pretty messed up, actually. I'd probably have a lot to say. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Meditation is a great practice for writers. You don't have to meditate for writing. Get that clear. You don't have to do a meditation where you're beating into your brain that you're going to write now, or that you have to write something, or that you're meditating for inspiration. You can if you want to, but it's really just about the practice of meditation because, my God, do we have a lot of distractions around us all the time, right? We've talked about this a lot, but in the era of the electronic world that we live in now, your brains and my brain are very scattered, and this is why the electronic world has kept us with information at our fingertips and an overload of information all the time, and it has scattered our brains into a million places. And so when people are asking me two things, how do you calm yourself down, shut your brain down enough to be able to write, but also what is going on around you that's keeping you away from doing those things? This is the problem with our brains. It's the ADHD we've all developed. So what meditation does. So this is when people ask me how to develop their intuition and also how to slow their brain down enough to write, it's meditation. And again, you don't have to meditate about writing unless you want to. It's just the practice. 15 minutes a day. Not asking for a lot, but 15 minutes a day will help slow your brain down, help you get back into more healthy brainwave function. So that you can transition into a space of writing or a space of using your intuition or a space of creating where you're not so distracted. That's the point. Yep. Things like social media, articles that you read, things that you see out in the world are all ways that you may find something that you want to write about, or that just helps to start spinning a story in your brain. If you're just gonna, Sit down and journal, just write for fun. Think about things like, what do I need to know right now? Or what story am I carrying? And then you just write without stopping. That's more of an automatic writing kind of practice, right? You just write without stopping. Memories surface, ideas emerge. You might need to keep a little list on the side of your page to help you remember things that are coming up. You don't have to be perfect. You're just going to be open. You're going to tell the whole truth. Or you're going to just continue thinking about what you'd want to put into this process down the road. Fear of failure, fear of being wrong, fear of criticism, fear of getting naked on the stage. Those are the things that slow writers down. I kind of love the idea of having writing under a pen name so that you could just be as raw as you want to be. Maybe just for certain things too. I don't know. I kind of like it. Do I think anyone local that would buy my book? I don't know. It's a good question. Spirit said I would love to write and publish my story of being trafficked at birth and having sued and won lawsuits of the Dutch government. Leslie said I love your kids slash family stories. What about all those weddings? They could make a fascinating book for those who don't see so many, right? The drama. Oh, the bridal shower I went to this weekend. Oh, you guys. The bride is so lovely and sweet, but the people around her hate each other, and it was just, it was seeping into everything. It was uncomfy. But it was at a romance bookstore in downtown Boise. That was the sweetest place. Oh my God, I could live there. So cute. Lillian said, I know if I was in your town and I wrote a book, you'd be interested in reading it. Or, yeah. Jane said, I'm scattered because those who live above me start moving 4 hours into my sleep every night for the past 1.5 years. Yeah, that would be tough. Let me shut my door. Don't know if you can hear Luca barking, but I can, and it's driving me crazy. Oh, the poor little bride, her mom and stepmom and the groom's mom. Oh man, there was tension. Ugh. Expected tension, unfortunately, but tension nonetheless. And the bride is just darling. She's cute and she's sweet and just wants everyone to get along and desperately wants them to not be mad at her, you know? Yeah. It was an interesting experience, but damn the bookstore. Oh, so cute. It is sad, right? Yeah. I know. I didn't even think that the last I'd heard, not all of these people were going to be invited because they can't get along, can't be in the same room. Apparently, there's been a lot of fireworks with mom and grandma. Like, oh my gosh. Luckily, they did all manage to, as far as I could see, generally took the high road, so I hope that remained true. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you know, when you're mixing all these families up, you do get sometimes some weird stuff, right? Family, erg, right? Just be nice for the bride's sake. For God's sake, it is not your wedding. It's not your bridal shower. It's not about you. We have a tough time with that sometimes. Anyway, so you can go through the rest of that. And if you are thinking about writing or have wanted to do some writing, I hope I can help encourage you to just start putting something on paper. Kelly's article this week is, this is about July and the goddess reading for July, and it's awesome. Worth taking a look at. I did put together a big list of writing prompt ideas. I think sometimes you just, if you can't come up with anything to write about, it's nice to just have some canned ideas of things that you could write about. So, a list of memories and life, lessons and beliefs, people and relationships, moments and details, challenges and growth, imagination and creativity, places and journeys, and some random sparks, and just some good ways to use these prompts. So, this may give you a little extra help if you need it. Also, whilst writing, don't forget you can use your voice app. I use my voice app for everything, much more than I actually type with my hands. Partly just for me because I have RA and my hands are unhappy a lot of the time. And so using a voice app so that I'm not just typing the whole time makes me feel better. But I also feel like I express myself better speaking than I do typing. So I use my voice app all the time. I usually just use Google Docs and turn on the microphone function. But that's also a great way if you're out and about and there you want to just make a quick note about something that you saw or that it made you think about, to just throw a quick note together for yourself to come back to later. But those are all things to consider. Thank you, Lillian. Okay, and that's pretty much Luminous for the week. So hopefully you got a little inspiration out of that and I can get your wheels turning a little bit. So don't forget that I am a you can find me over at One to Listen every day, doing readings and healings and lots of energy work, lots of animal communication over at One to Listen, some mediumship, and anything else I can do to help you out. That is my job. And please don't ever think that it's not important enough. If it's important to you, it's important to me, and that's just all there is to it. So I will be there to help you if I can. And again, that's One to Listen, number one, number two, listen.com, and just look for me, Katie Weaver. Alrighty, guys. Well, take care. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you for the birthday wishes, your angels. I will see you next Tuesday, same place, same time. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.